Turn to Luke chapter 11. The title of this message is called Our Governor. Now let's take out our swords. Lord, I have your word and I know it's true. I am what it says I am. I have everything it says I have. And I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Luke 11 verse 13 says, this is the Lord speaking, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? You know, in this last segment of the kingdom series that we are entering into, we've come a long way. We've come from a place of understanding that there are kingdom principles and laws that we have to operate from, that God has set from the beginning but now has set in the church. And from that we came to learn what the king was about, how it was originated, where it goes, and what are we a part of. To the point of understanding that God in His benevolence created a kingdom, a spiritual kingdom first, and in His love, He continued to influence the physical realm by creating a secondary kingdom that He set forth here on earth. He gave it to Adam and Eve and was betrayed when we rebelled against His authority. And He set forth a plan in which He Himself, not someone else, He Himself was going to pay the price to redeem mankind and put mankind back in the original position that He had designed us to be. Amen? And in that positioning, He gives everyone, the opportunity, the choice to either become a kingdom citizen or not. Of course, the outcome and the truth of their decision making is that if you hear His voice and do not harden your heart, you have the opportunity to change your life with His help. And so, today what we're going to be doing is understanding what the Holy Spirit is not and what His job is and how He works before we get to know His nature and how we can begin to stay plugged into the Holy Spirit and have all this potential that is within us released from us in power and authority. Amen? This is what's going, church. This is what God wants for His church to come to understand. Again, if you do not believe that you are part of the Joshua generation, you will not have the fullness that God has for you because you are in doubt and unbelief. This is not for the faint-hearted. This is for those who really want to rock on in Jesus and turn this world upside right one more time before He comes. Amen? The Holy Spirit. We recognize that the gift of the Holy Spirit and the truth of who He is stated throughout all the Scriptures. But sometimes we tend to forget how important He is in our lives. And what happens is we have this mishmash of Scripture talked to us by spiritual fathers and mothers, so to speak, out of their experiences, when the reality is every person's experience with the Holy Spirit is unique and it should be lined up with the truth of the Scriptures. Amen? You cannot live off of my experience with the Holy Spirit. You can't enter into the kingdom on my shirt tails. You know, you can't do this. You have to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And again, you know, we talked about righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness. Right standing or in position with God. As an army, we have to get in position with the commander-in-chief. Who's the commander-in-chief? Jesus. He's the commander-in-chief. He's the one that tells the church what He wants done. The problem is, we don't recognize the Holy Spirit because His job as governor is the representation of the king's presence in the area where the king is not. And we have to focus on that all the time. We tend to forget that God is invisible, that He's in heaven, and that He doesn't care about us here. That's not true. God cares about us tremendously. But He cares about our obedience. He is not going to give us something unless we are obedient. And as Jesus says here, if you want the Holy Spirit, all you got to do is ask God for Him. Okay? Now, Christianity is under tremendous assault around the world. But I will only state about what is happening in America today. If you read the book of Judges, you can see that they didn't want a king. They didn't want Jesus as king. They didn't want God as king. They wanted to have a king like unto the nations. And so what would happen is they would rebel against the judges who were sent as representatives, the governor, to Israel. And they would go through this cycle of obeying God, then disobeying God, to the point where God would punish them. They would repent and get back together. To eventually, the tragic thing that says in Judges is, and they did what was right in their own eyes. And that's what we have going on in the Church of Jesus Christ today. Too many people think that they have the right to do whatever it is that they want because they're doing what's right in their own eyes, not understanding that we're doing it in the eyes of God. And God will punish us for our disobedience. But let's see what's going on in the world. Today, there are so many religions, false religions. Even Judaism is a false religion because it's based on what we can do, not what God has done. Christianity is not a religion, although there are fellowships that turn it into a religion. If you really want the truth of it, it is a governmental positioning of God's people in this world to represent the king and his kingdom in power and in might against the forces of darkness and to reveal his love to those who are in the physical realm. That's the truth. That's what Jesus preached. He didn't preach religion. He preached being in relationship with the king and telling them about the government that we represent. We are ambassadors of heaven. Amen? And we tend to forget this. We tend to take for granted. But I can't emphasize it all the more that God is stressing for us to throw away all the mishmash of what we have been taught and get to the truth. The truth will set you free. And if we are not free, then we do not have truth, and we need to find what the truth is to set ourselves free. Amen? What are some of these religions that are affecting America today? Eastern mysticism. And I'm only going to name some of the religions that are out there. It is Baha'ism. We see some of those billboards that talk about Baha. Not Baja California, but Baha'ism. It's mysticism, divine light movement, TM, transcendental meditation, Vedanta society, yoga, Buddhism, Shintoism, Confucianism. You put whatever ism you want that comes from the East, that is Eastern mysticism. And what do they say about the Holy Spirit? Well, these guys, they're kind of whacked. But they believe the Holy Spirit is the highest form of inner consciousness to your true self. The inner consciousness of your true self. That's what they're saying that the Holy Spirit is. When Jesus said, you got to die to yourself. To find yourself, you got to lose yourself. And these guys are propagating a false hope in that once you find your inner being, you will be enlightened to the dark side. Because that's what it is. It's witchcraft. We're not to find ourselves. We're to lose ourselves. And that is the truth. In order to lose oneself, we must surrender ourselves to Jesus Christ. Unification Church, or better known as the Church of the Moon, Reverend Young Sung Moon, or the Moonies. They are big in California. They are originated from Korea. And they believe the Holy Spirit is a female spirit that cleanses all of mankind because of Eve's sin. And after all, we need to have this indemnifying redemption that the female spirit must take care of, like a mother must take care and clean our spirits, because the Father of all spirits needs to set right the course. And so we have a father-mother spirit, which is not the Holy Spirit. Amen? And you're saying, how whack can people believe this stuff? They do believe it. Believe me. Wait till I tackle stuff that you guys know about. Spiritualism. Spiritualism denies the person of the Holy Spirit. Rather, they believe that the Spirit that is coming upon them is one of a sage or a holy man from old who's on vacation from his destination to come back and enlighten us with his truths. Sure he is. I call that demonic influences. It's not some holy guy. The Holy Spirit. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that He's a force from God that moves upon the people to do the will of God. A force. Oh, the Holy Spirit's like a cool breeze moving upon me. I've had a mellow mint. Oh, He's so gracious and awesome. But this is what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe about the Holy Spirit. Let alone they've got Jesus in a box held since 1943 and he's about ready to pop out. It's called Jesus in a box. You just crank it up and out he comes. Oh, it's not time yet for Jesus. Let's put him back in a box. Dumb. Mormonism believes that the Holy Spirit is the influence of deity, the light of Christ that can only be in one place at one time. The best way of describing this faith is, you have a light. You turn the light switch on. The Holy Spirit is the power that goes from that switch to that light and only that light. Oh, praise God. He must be here. No, the Holy Spirit is in you and upon you. That's why He's God. He's able to be at all places, at all times. He's able to minister to us here and also minister to the church in China, Burma, Japan, Hawaii. I'm starting to like the church more and more, because when we get sent out to missions, I hope he sends me to an island. Yes, non-volcanic. Christian scientists believe that the Holy Spirit is the divine science. He is the highest form of science. Oh, gosh. I'm so filled with science. Wasn't there a song about science? Mad science? There we go. Yeah. Guy must have been a Mormon or something, you know, but Christian scientists. And these guys are whack jobs, you know, believing this stuff. Because really what they're propagating is a false religion of becoming God themselves. And so what they have to do is demean the purpose and deity of the Trinity, especially the Holy Spirit, in order to relegate and make relative that their truths that they're speaking, their half-truths and lies, is that we will be God. God in you and God will become you. You're God and God is in you. And nitwits do not understand truth. The truth is that these are all false religions, and any religion that demeans the person of Jesus Christ, that transcends and demoralizes the person of the Holy Spirit, do not understand. And I'll be truthful, I don't understand the Trinity. I can't. I've got a finite mind with an infinite God. But I know one thing. There's three of them. They're all one. And they love me. They love you. And they want to see you become all that you possibly can be in Jesus Christ. The truth is that the Holy Spirit is none of these things. He's not a higher consciousness. He is not a force that influences people. He's not just visiting with us on vacation from the spirit realm. He's not a female spirit that becomes an insurance policy for people to cleanse our spirits. He's none of these. He is the most gentlest person of the Trinity. He is holy. He is a he, not a she. He is not an it. He has a definite personality, and he is a definite person. And he is here with us at this very moment. The work of the Holy Trinity differs from each one because each one has a different role to play, but all are in agreement in the plan of God. Jesus came in human form to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is the Lamb of God, where He is the Savior. The Father is the Creator of everything. And He is the one who has forgiven us of our sins because of Jesus Christ. And when we come into Jesus Christ, when we come into right standing, immediately what we have is a forgiveness and a cleansing. The Holy Spirit, His job is to convict us of sin and of unrighteousness. Before we get saved and after we get saved. He is the lover of our soul. He is the governor because He represents the King. And His job is to teach the believers in all truth, to educate them in all truths. His job is to train us and prepare us for the war that is about to break out upon this planet. How many are worried about all this money problems that are going on in the world? How many of you are worried about this? You shouldn't be. Because you're not of this world. We live in this world. We're not going to take anything out of this world. As I said to some of the leaders, I said, I've never seen a casket with a trailer hooked to it. You're just not going to take your stuff with you. And of course, one of the leaders said, well, you know what? I know of a story where this old guy, he wanted to live out totally, so he was buried naked in his casket. Okay, a little chilly-willy for me. You know? There's extremes in everything. But, you know what? We got to use common sense here. Now, when we preach the good news, and this is how the Holy Spirit works, when we preach the good news, and preaching the good news happens in one of two ways. Who could tell me what those two ways are? By our testimonies and preaching through our experience of the Word of God, right? You can't tell somebody about something you don't know about, right? You can't. I mean, Sean's been to Green Bay. I can't. He could tell me all about Green Bay, and I can appreciate what he shares with me about Green Bay, but I can't take his experience and say, that's my experience, and tell everybody about Green Bay, can I? No, I can't. But I can relish in his experience in that, and thank God that he shares that stuff with us. And it's like maybe someday, some nice warm spring day, when it's thawed out, that I will go there. Maybe. Who knows? Whatever God wants me to do. But that's the experience of the Holy Spirit. We tell people about the experience of the Holy Spirit from what someone else tells us. Right? And we tell them about the kingdom. But actually what we tell them is about Jesus. Because we haven't had our minds renewed enough yet to realize that my relationship is to talk about the King, but mostly the benefits of the kingdom. Why would someone want to come into the kingdom? And so the Holy Spirit uses our words and even interjects His words into our mouths, because Jesus said at a time when you're brought before magistrates and all, it's not you speaking, it's the spiritualist that comes off on vacation and he talks to me, right? No. Oh, it's the Mormon. It goes in and turns that switch on. And it's like, no, It's a force that comes upon you. And the devil made me do it, right? No, it's none of these things. It's He who has been restored back to the church, the governor, the Spirit of the living God, coming and teaching His people how to be first a child of the living God, and second of all, how to relate one to another and to the King. And we share those experiences because that's what we live. That's who we are. And so, as we learn from the Holy Spirit and He teaches us, He shows us things that we've never seen before, and how many of us have read Scripture upon Scripture upon Scripture, and all of a sudden, bam, Scripture jumps right out. It's like, I must have read this 1,000 times, and all of a sudden, there it is. I don't know about you, that happens to me all the time. That's why I don't put too much emphasis on the theologians, because all they're doing is being educated on Bible stuff. I want the revelation of the Holy Spirit. As Paul said, I was spent 3.5 years in the desert. I was taught by the Holy Spirit. What I learned before, I counted as dung. So whatever you've learned before about the Holy Spirit, throw it out. Because He's going to teach you exactly who He is and what His job is. Amen? That's the job of the Holy Spirit, to convict people to come to Jesus. What happens in the church? There is a dangerous position that we can find ourselves in, and that is not hearing the Holy Spirit, not being convicted by the Holy Spirit. God has designed us to have spiritual eyes and ears and a spiritual mouth that the Holy Spirit wants to use, but He first needs to tune us to His frequency. In the moment that we no longer are being convicted of sins in our lives, the moment we are disobedient and continue to become disobedient, the further away we move from hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. That is the truth. You see, He's to convict us too. And when we confess those sins, He cleanses us from all unrighteousness and forgives us. Isn't that what 1 John says? How faithful Jesus is to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Holy Spirit does a really good job because He beats on our conscience. But there will come a time when we just don't want to hear it. And the saddest thing is when we ignore the Holy Spirit's promptings, we ignore the Holy Spirit speaking to us because we want our sin more than we want Him. That's the truth. And what will happen? What happens when you ignore people? Do they stay with you? Do they pay attention to you? They walk away. Why? You don't want to be bothered because you don't find that relationship as valuable as you first did. That's the truth. Why do we come here? Because we come here because hopefully we come because we value the relationship of the fellowship that we have one with another. But most importantly, we come here because we value God Himself and what He has done for us, and tell Him how much we appreciate Him and His Spirit that is with us and in us. That is the truth. And when we become willful in not doing what the Holy Spirit wants us to do, we move further and further away, and we're wondering why our lives are not progressing. We're wondering why our lives are like in the toilet. Now, that's not saying that our lives can be in the toilet because we are being obedient, because God is preparing us and all. But I'm talking about a situation that our willfulness is involved. We're not surrendered. We're not doing the stuff. And it's a sad position to be in, a very dangerous position, because what opens a person up is deception. And that person is first self-deceived. Because you're not in truth. You're not You're not worried about truth because you just want to fulfill your appetites. And the Holy Spirit's constantly saying, Gomez, you got to stop this stuff because it's dangerous. I got something for you, but if you aren't going to listen to what I'm telling you to do, then you're going to have to suffer the consequences. And the Bible says that God's Spirit will not always strive with man. This is what he's talking about. He's saying, you know what? If you want what you want, you will get what you want. But you will lose so much more than what you were bargaining for. And the road back is so much filled with so many stones and stuff that it's very, very difficult for a person. And when we neglect that relationship, when we don't find that relationship and our position is worth anything, because, you know, we're the instantaneous society. We've got to have what we want right now. And God doesn't operate like that. We're not this social butterfly type of stuff that we fly around. Oh, I need a little nectar from here and I need a little nectar from there. And we make this witch's brew for our lives. We need to learn that the most sacred place for us is maintaining that position of righteousness at all cost. That's what it means to die on the cross. Put your flesh up there and die. Because this position, hear me church, this position, if you are in position, you can hear the Holy Spirit clearly. He will give you the power and authority to move out and take the land. But he has to take the land in you first. He has to get Egypt out of you before you can take that scepter and begin to start beating the demons of hell back. The worst thing for a teacher, and that's what the Holy Spirit is referred to as a teacher. The worst thing for a teacher is to have a group of students that no longer are interested in learning and applying truth. He knows our heart and how desperately wicked it is. He knows when we're ignoring Him. He knows when we're disregarding His teachings. Or worse yet, ignoring His leadings. He sees it and He is grieved by it. According to Ephesians 4. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And we do it. We do it through our communication to one another. We do it through our sinful behaviors before God. We do it when we hear the Holy Spirit. Let me give you some examples. When was the last time that the Holy Spirit woke you up in the middle of the night and said, you know what, I need you to get up and pray? And you said, man, you know what, I just worked the double. I'm tired. I'm staying in bed. Bing, you move from righteousness. It's not about you. It's about that person that He wants you to begin to pray for in the Spirit. Because that person's in greater need than you are. You missed an opportunity. And that person on the other end of the spectrum that we were supposed to pray for just took a shot that the Holy Spirit wanted us to protect them from. Or provide them with a need or something. You see, church, we don't realize how important it is to respond positively to His prompting. When was the last time the Holy Spirit told you that, you know what, I need you to start doing this in your life? And you say, I'll get to it tomorrow. And He keeps talking to you. And a week goes by and the talking is becoming less and less. Until months, even years go by, and you're wondering why your life isn't progressing. Spiritually, I'm speaking of. You may have all the success the world can give you, but spiritually you have stymied yourself. Could it be because you didn't respond to His teaching and implement something that He wanted? Or how many times we've just ignored Him and not praised Him for being in your life, teaching you, being there to direct you. Not having conversation with Him. That's like a husband and a wife not speaking ever for 20 years. What kind of marriage do you have? You have marriage in name alone.
Really?
When was the last time the Holy Spirit spoke to you? When was the last time you were obedient to Him? You see, when we ignore Him or not respond, we're no different than those religions. Because we make Him less than what He is. We don't honor Him as part of the Trinity. We disrespect Him and the position that He holds over us. We still think we're the ones in control. And you are. You are in control. He will not violate your will. You have every right to do what it is that you want. But understand, as you're walking away, you will suffer the consequences of your decisions. And He loves you so much that He wants to keep you from harming yourself. That's how dumb we are. That's what the great description for us is being a sheep. We are dumb as sheep, and even dumber than rocks. Really, we are. I encourage you that you know what? Where you are right now is not insurmountable. The Holy Spirit speaking to you, the easiest thing to do is confess your sin, repent, and get right with Him. Because we need Him. We need Him more today than we did yesterday. We're going to need Him more in the weeks and days ahead because we are going to make an assault into this neighborhood. And if we're constantly putting other things and other stuff before what He wants done, then we will not have the abundant life that Jesus talked about. The abundance isn't in our stuff and the jobs that we have or the monies that we saved. The abundance is who we are, the character that He has created in us, and the power and might of the Spirit, because we're kingdom people. If you believe that, then you have opportunity to make it right before Him. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank You for Your Word. I thank You next week, Lord, we're going to learn about the nature of the Holy Spirit and how He works with us. Holy Spirit, forgive us. Forgive us for forgetting You. Forgive us for not putting You in the place that You need to be. Forgive us of treating You disrespectfully. Holy Spirit, we need You. We need You more and more. Holy Spirit, we need to hear Your voice. We need You to tell us the answers. We need You to direct our path. We need You to show us what's coming down the road. We need Your gifts to be moving upon us. We need You, Lord. Father, I just ask that we have not grieved the Holy Spirit so much that He has departed from us. As David said, take not Your Holy Spirit from me, but create a broken and contrite spirit in me, Lord. Father, as we continue to learn about this very important third person of Your Trinity, help us to value Him as the most important person upon this planet. Help us to value His wisdom. Help us to value His knowledge. Help us to be the students that care tremendously in what He is going to share with us, because He's only sharing what Jesus is hearing and seeing from You, Lord. Build us into the very image of Jesus Christ. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.